Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
They're going to go up there, they're going to go into a closet, they're going to dust off Matt Nagy's mirror, and they're all going to look in it.
For me, each person, every coach, every player, it's time to start looking at themselves in the mirror.
Olin Krutz.
I know if Olin's speaking, it's going to be the truth, it's going to be what he sees, and it's probably going to be right.
14-year NFL veteran.
The leader of the whole deal, Olin Krutz. He's the heartbeat, he's the soul, and he's the guy that's going to lead the way for the Bears offensive line.
Six-time Pro Bowler and four-time NFL All-Pro.
You know, I was thinking about the Chicago Bears guys, and I thought about, man, Caleb Williams looked like Neo from The Matrix, dodging the question about the last play in the game. And none of it makes sense to me, guys.
You know, I'm on the field. I got a call, and I know I took a timeout earlier in that. Was it same drive? Same drive. I knew I took a timeout earlier.
Football analyst for 670 The Score.
How many captains do you really need? Just strip them of that seat.
They have to turn it in on the coach's desk like they did at Rudy, right?
Don't be ridiculous. You're an All-American, and our captain, act like it. I believe I am.
I was just thinking with my arthritic fingers, I couldn't rip that C off. I'd be so disappointed in myself when I went to rip it. And then my elbow went bad. I had my stinger in my neck. I was like, man, if I was young, I'd rip that C off.
Player shaking up for a second there with the Bears. It's the center, Olin Krutz.
Olin Krutz with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Here comes Santa in a red canoe, paddling on the magic sea of blue, with the hope of Molly, Molly, Merry Christmas to you. Here comes Santa in a red canoe.
That's delightful. Now joining us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, it's Olin Krutz, CircaLasVegas.com. I like when you sing. When you're on with Molly and Haw, they'll bring some of the island music, and it's fun when you're out here singing, because Lord knows, we have not had a lot of fun with football this season.
No, it's not fun at all. It's almost like you go to study these Chicago Bears, and you think to yourself, what am I going to study? Well, let me study what coaches are available, and that sucks this time of the year, and try to find storylines for a team that's really struggling.
So was the red canoe part of the lore of Santa as you're growing up? Were you told that's how he was coming to your house?
You know, it's kind of tough right in Hawaii because there's no chimney. So where does he come from? Right? And, it's just, you know, but I'll be careful. My kids are listening. So the canoe and all that, trying to figure that all out is always hard. But, you know, like everything else in Hawaii, no, everybody doesn't wear aloha shirts there. And no, we don't drink Mai Tais and we don't ride dolphins and we don't do all these other things that people seem to think we do.
This segment with Olin Krutz is brought to you by your local Ford dealer. Shop now at buyfordnow.com. This has been an interesting week for the Bears. A lot of revelations have come out of Hallis Hall. I know that you pay a lot of attention to what's happening up there and trying to figure out how to get to the bottom of it. As you've looked at this season devolve, what stands out to you as being continued problematic behavior by the Bears?
That's a really good question, right? And it continued problematic is the fact that it's been going on for years, really. It seems like from the outside looking in, you can see their problems coming. You can see these things not going in the right direction, but they don't see it, right? It's almost like, okay, Are you ever going to build your offensive line? Which I'm an offensive lineman, so people kind of laugh at me when I say, okay, are they going to draft an O-lineman? Are they going to fix that position? What are they going to do there? That'll become a problem. And, of course, it does become a problem. And then, you know, we go through this whole thing of like, well, these players are all talking and calling their coaches out, but it's okay because, look, this is how they are nowadays, and it's a new breed of player. And I keep asking myself, well, I keep hearing people say that, but are the winning teams doing that, right? Are the winning teams talking about their head coach and questioning them after Hail Marys and questioning them constantly? And the answer is no, obviously. So you can see that becoming a problem, and it just seems like they don't see it, right? You just watch the last Vikings game, and gosh, what a roller coaster that game was, right? Up and down and mistakes and another blocked field goal with the same guys on the left side of the offensive line. And are we going for it on 4th and 4? And then a fumble punt and then a recovery. And it's just a crazy season to watch. And when you watch them build their team and pick their coaches, you start to believe that they don't know what they're doing up there, that even with new people there, new people making decisions, new guys bringing people into the building, it's still not working. And you start to lose a little hope, right? You start to hear about the quarterback talking about all the losing and dealing with losing. You hear Cole Kmet talk about losing too and how he's dealing with it. And it reminds me, guys, that when I first got here, right, I came from as a music says there, I came from Hawaii and I was part of the 3-time state champs, the varsity team. And then I didn't lose much in Washington and I came here. And guys, you know, when I first got here, I think we had 6 losing seasons in my first 7 years, right? And we went on, you know, in 1998, we had a 6-game losing streak. And in 2002, we had an 8-game losing streak. So we did lose a lot when I got in. We had to figure a lot of things out. And then from the next 6 years I was here, four out of those 6 years we won. We had winning seasons and we were 7-9 the other two. So we did figure something out in that building. And the thing is, you want to tell them that it is hard to win in Chicago. It is hard to get the thing moving in the right direction. It does take a lot of work. And I think that's what you hear them start to say to each other and starting to question out loud. How do we get this thing back on the right track?
Man, like all these eras come flooding together as you're talking about it. Because when we were young guys at the Score, me and Lawrence, and Doug Buffone was the former Bear, and he would every once in a while explode in sadness as well as anger, because it was always an organization that lost, just so much losing. And then when we heard what you're talking about with Caleb yesterday, and he's like, yeah, I'm asking some of the other guys, like, how do you lose? Like, what do you do as a loser? It's like, what the hell? Were there older players who were talking to you about how to lose? Did you need to understand that the way that Caleb seemed to express that yesterday?
Yeah, it's a hard thing to go through, right? And then when you have older players that have never won, right? And then, you know, in 2001, we did go through that 13-3 year. Right? I mean, we had the two overtime victors where Mike Brown returned it for touchdowns, and that team kind of just turned into a good football team. We had a really good offensive line. Anthony Thomas was NFC Rookie of the Year. Jim Miller played all those games, and then we went right back the next year. We played in Champaign, and we went right back to losing and having 5 or 6 quarterbacks come in. You know, it was Jim Miller, Chris Chandler, Henry Burris, and Corey Sutter that were playing quarterback for us that year. So it's just like you're saying, it takes a long time, and that's why as a former player, you're always trying to express to them, learning how to win is a big deal in the NFL, learning about what it actually takes. And you hear them talking about it a lot, guys. You hear them talking about details, doing things the right way, paying attention to what the coach is saying, having a first 15, challenging each other, challenging the coach. It just seems like they haven't figured it out yet. And when I hear them talk, that's what I'm talking about, is I see like a train wreck coming a lot of times. And that's why you can predict a lot of times how the year is going to go. And that's why you openly question them when they're questioning each other openly in the media, just because you've never seen it work in football. And if they could make it work and they were that good, more power to them. We all would enjoy it. We'd all enjoy the ride that they were on if they were winning games, but they're not. They're not winning games. And then when they come on and talk, like you guys heard when I came in and said, I couldn't understand what Caleb Williams was talking about. And then you guys played his clip of him talking, and you see what I'm talking about. I don't understand what they're saying, guys, when they're at the podium. It doesn't make sense to me, and it doesn't equal a lot of winning, and it hasn't.
I want to go back to something you brought up earlier, and we're talking with Olin Kreutz here on Spiegel and Holmes, and it's the idea of building. And you know, like, you're part of our team, right? So, we know that there probably is some bias towards offensive line, but that doesn't mean that you're wrong. And so when I look at the Bears and I see them building outside in instead of inside out, it kind of doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But as someone who can bring reason to some of this stuff, when you look at how this roster is put together, what are the mistakes that maybe the fan that's in their car right now are like, wait, what do you guys mean? Why aren't they getting it right when they're adding offensive linemen and defensive linemen to this mix?
Well, and then when they do add, they make a mistake like with Nate Davis, right? And when you add an older guy and give him the money, you're pretty much propping him up as the example of what you want in your locker room. And then you get that. You get a guy that you have to cut midseason, Lawrence, right? And you talk about your culture and what's wrong with it. And sure, Coach Eberflus was not doing a good job of game management, but you want to talk about ruining your culture. Sign a guy and give him $30 million. Prop him up as the guy you want everyone to be like. Because let me tell you guys right now, just like in your building, right? If someone gets paid, it's an example of, look, this is what we want here. This is what we want to be. These are the guys that we want here. These are the kind of professionals we want. And then you got to cut a midseason on your offensive line. Man, that is a big blow to your culture. So first of all, as everyone knows, they took two cornerbacks to start. They took Velus Jones. There were offensive linemen there to take when they took Brisker. And we all hope he gets healthy. But look, the facts are the facts. He's not playing, right? But he does have time to tweet about his head coach being gone, right? Just these things just really, really bug me, guys, when I watch it, right? And at that time, Cam Jurgens, the Philadelphia Eagles starting center, the number one center in the draft, was on the board. The next year, Tyreek Stevenson, you take another cornerback, another guy who's become a problem for you, right? Another guy who become a problem for your culture. And we all agree he's a young guy. And we all agree he can learn. We all agree that it looks like he has some potential to be a good football player in the NFL, but not yet. There's still a lot of problems with him, right? After him, John Michael Schmitz from Minnesota went to the Giants. Number one center in the draft, guys. Are you building your offensive lines in Chicago, your defensive lines? There were defensive linemen on the board also that we did not take, right? We did not take defensive linemen for that three technique, that super important position there in the Matt Eberflus defense, or another defensive end to help Montez Sweat with the pass rush. So some of this stuff just seemed obvious to me that when you build in the trenches, that's how you win football games in Chicago. It didn't happen. And then you take a look at the Chicago Bears, the way they are built this year. You brought three wide receivers in, which means 11 is your number one personnel. Three wide receivers is your number one personnel. And then you brought us a scat back. You brought us DeAndre Swift, who's basically a scat back. We all, and then you bring in a scat back, guys, and then you complain three or four games into the season that he won't hit the hole downhill between the tackles. Like, these things just confuse me when I hear you talking about those kind of things, right? And then you build that, and you say, why can't we run the ball? And then you don't really have – like, every football team that loves to run the ball, guys, they have a tight end who gets after people, right? They have a guy – he's late. He's driving guys in a pile. He's drive-blocking guys. He's kind of a dirty tight end. The Bears don't have that, right? They don't have that kind of tight end. They went out inside Gerald Everett, who might as well just be another wide receiver out there, and Cole Kmet. Who you know, he's a good tight end, but he's not one of these run blocking, you know, get under guys' pads, drive him into the ground, shove him. Most of the time I see him kind of drive by the pile and then get worried about he getting hit in the back of the legs, right? That's not the kind of guy we need to run the football. And then you don't have a road grader in the middle of your offensive line because you have to cut the guy that you wanted from the Titans, Nate Davis, who was your road grader. You're trying to see Lawrence and Speaks what I'm talking about from the outside looking in for a guy like me when you say, man, why are you not happy with the plan? Well, the plan's not going to work if at the end of the year you're saying, and all of a sudden, you know what everyone's saying? There's nothing you can do without the offensive line. There's nothing you can do if you can't run the ball. Well, that's not the way you're built, right? You put all the money into the skill positions, and now you're complaining about the offensive line.
There was a note in Dan Weeder's piece, and we're going to talk with Weeds at 4 o'clock, about Nate Davis. And it's got me heated, idea that there were people warning Ryan Poles who had worked for Tennessee. And it's like, this guy's a 100%er. You know, this is a guy, everything has to be right for him to take the field. And to then still jump out in free agency. And I have to wonder, like, what goes into the decision-making if you're not taking the advice of people who might know better than you?
Yeah, Ryan Poles has a lot to answer for what's going on at Hallis Hall, right? He really does. And I think he knows that. And then he's saying he knows exactly what his team needs. And that's an interesting comment. Right, when you hear him say something like that. And the whole thing about Nate Davis, We all know what happened there. That's a big mistake. That's a big mistake for your offensive line. That's a big mistake when you have young offensive linemen. You pay a guy, and when you knew already, right? And they said Coach Vrabel. Everybody knew when he came in. Coach Vrabel didn't like this guy, and there's rumors of what happened at that Patriots game that you know that he wouldn't play and he wouldn't rotate, and he said he had a back injury, and then they had to cut him, right? And it just was a bad signing for your locker room, man. It just really, really was, and that it falls at Ryan Poe's desk. And the thing you circle back to, guys, is I know his numbers look good. I know, like, I was watching a Vikings game earlier, the first Vikings game, and somebody throws Caleb Williams makes. Unbelievable, right? The one to Swift where he jumped off his feet. A couple of throws to Keenan Allen, leading the team back to tie that game up when they're basically out of the game. I think they're down 27-16 with like a minute 56 left. The thing you worry about, man, is how much can a young quarterback take, right? And people always talk about, you know, Masih Muhammad said, here's where receivers come to die in Chicago. And we heard it going into the draft. The quarterbacks actually want to come to Chicago. Now we hear the coaches want to come to Chicago. And everybody always says, man, you're overreacting. That's a little too much. But let me tell you something right now, man. I start to worry about the young quarterback. Like, he talks about dealing with losing, dealing with another play caller, dealing with all this change. It's exactly what people were talking about before the draft. It's exactly what people were worried about for this young quarterback before the draft. They better get this fixed for the young quarterback, and they owe him that. They owe him that, and he should demand it. He should demand that they fix what they're doing up there at Halas Hall. He should demand that they start doing it the right way. He should ask Ryan Poles the questions I'm presenting to you guys. He should ask George McCaskey the questions. He should ask Kevin Warren the questions. He should demand that they get their shit straight up there at Halas Hall. Sorry about that. Hit that beat button. But they should demand it.
Dump him.
No, we're fine.
No, you're
we're
good.
Fine.
Olin, you're good.
And it gives people on Twitch who are listening a treat.
Well, and it's you care, man. You care, and it matters. And it, you know, I can't stop thinking about the Detroit model, where the right member of the ownership family got control, and Sheila Hamp Ford realized she needed help, and she brought in a former player in Chris Spielman to be her special assistant. And he was there when they decided to hire Brad Holmes as the GM. And he was there when they and Brad Holmes decided to hire Dan Campbell. And Chris Spielman sits there with Sheila Hamp Ford and Holmes and Campbell every Tuesday morning to discuss the previous week's game. The ownership realized they needed a player's mindset, one of their own, who they trusted, to help them understand the game and how to build an organization. And the Bears need that. They need that, and they don't have that. And every time I talk about it, somebody texts in and says, that should be Olin Krutz. That should be Olin Krutz, that sitting there with ownership and helping them understand how you build it. Don't they need someone like that in that role? And would you do it if they ever asked? They'd obviously have to pay more than $15 an hour.
Oh, of course you would do it. I love football. I love the Chicago Bears, and I live here. Became a resident of Illinois. My two boys played Illinois. I got tons of family here. They're all Bears fans. So you'd love to help. If they asked you to do it, of course you would, right? But think about the difference you're talking about, Steve, right? And think about one owner went and called Spielman, and the other owner said, you can't trust a word out of this guy's mouth, right? That's just a bad culture, right? It's a bad culture when you say those kind of things about former players who gave you 13 years. And I'm not crying over Spielman. I'm over it. It doesn't bug me one bit, but if you look at an example, if I analyze it from the outside looking in, even though it is me, I analyze what the guy said about me. The difference between what one owner says about a guy who's one start away from holding the record for starts for his football team. Basically said, nothing I say you can trust. It's a lie. You got to take it with a grain of salt. So he said about me.
Take just about anything that Olin says with a grain of salt?
Yeah. Anything, right? They think about that. Think about a guy saying that, and you're telling me that everyone starts to wonder what's wrong with their culture up there. Just think about that. Think about that and the difference between that and what the Lions did.
Yeah, the McCaskies, I think, are afraid of football sensibilities. Oh, and that's the psychological profile that leaps out, is that they're scared of really thinking about the viciousness of football and the violence of football, and you can't have a good team without accepting that, can you?
Good football players, the NFL is an elite football player league, an elite coaches league, and that's who wins football games. And like you said, at the end of the day, it's a violent physical sport. It takes a little bit more than that. To win the football games, it takes a lot of people in a building to get a building moving in the right direction. But you're correct, Spiegs. It just doesn't seem like they pick the right people to put into the building. Doesn't seem like they wait when they make decisions. They see what's going to happen a year or 2 years down the line, how to get this thing moving in the right direction. And then they sit there like you can almost mark your clock to it or your calendar. They're going to sit at the table and tell you that everyone's getting better and they've all learned from their mistakes. And you were just all at the point now, like, man, we love for you guys to be right, but it's hard to trust you guys. It's hard to trust who you guys are going to hire. It's hard to even trust the next head coach who's coming in. Are you going to give him the foundation he needs, the infrastructure he needs? Are you going to give the young quarterback the infrastructure he needs? Are you going to give your pass rusher, Montez Sweat, the players around him he needs to shine, right? So the number one thing in the NFL, guys, is to help people get to their second contract. That really is leading. That really is how you get the people to buy in. That really is how you build your culture, is you develop young football players and help them to get to where they want to go and get to the level of football they want to play. This isn't complicated, right? People try to make it complicated. It isn't about your one-liners. It isn't about motivation. It isn't about yelling and screaming. It's about, are you making me better? Are you helping me win football games? And are you getting me to my second and third contract so I can go retire in the red canoe in Hawaii?
Before Chicago takes on Minnesota, tune in. We are super excited because Monday, starting at 5, your local four dealers pregame show is going to be right here during our time slot. So we get to hang out with Olin and Patrick. It's presented by Aurelio's. Mm. Olin Cruz, Patrick Manley, they're going to join us on the Spiegel and Holmes show. Then immediately after that, Olin, Pat, and Layla. That's going to be awesome, too. Great Clips post-game show presented by Sony Pictures, Wonderverse, Chicago, and TimberTech Decking and Railing. All of it can be heard on The Score and the Odyssey app. See, this is what we like. We like happy Olin.
It's like 80 there right now, man. It's 80. That's crazy. You want to ruin your dreams, have six kids, you'll get stuck in a cold.
Oh, have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you Monday.
Oh, man.
Appreciate it, guys.
Can you imagine not trusting what that guy thinks about football? Can you imagine? Like, how stupid and daft and intentionally obtuse do you need to be?
I got to tell you, I occasionally will pick Olin's brain about a lot of stuff. He's a really good life coach.
Oh, man. It's just aggression. We talk about it all the time. Aggression in everything you do, especially from a football mindset. The Bears need that person, and it ought to be him.
He should be mad that they get their straight up there at Halisaw. Sorry about that. Hit that beep button.
Beep, beep, beep.
I look, we're handing out presents, right? It's a Spiegel and Holmes holiday party.
Yes, sir.
That was a present to all of the mob. The folks that were listening on Twitch,
damn right,
listening on the app, they got a treat.
We got another present.
Oh, this is
one of the great singers in this town.
Agreed.
One of the great stories of any kind of performer in this town. A man you see and hear doing the national anthem any number of times, and you can see him this month in the club singing the Christmas stuff as well. We'll tell you about that in a little bit, but we got him right here with us. For our holiday party, it is the one, the only, the great one, Mr. John Vincent, here with us. It's a delightful man. He's going to sing us in and out of some breaks. Johnny Vincent, take us to break with this one, please, if you would. Good to see you, sir.
Great to see you guys. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're the best. Listen to those backup vocalists.
A little 1957 Frank Sinatra jingle bells.
They're setting you up. Just needs a lead vocal. You're the man.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh.
Ooh,
all the fields we go,
hey, hey.
Laughing all the way. Bells on bobtails ring, making those spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight.
We'll be right back on Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
This is awesome!
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride to be on the score today. Them holiday J-I-N-G-L-E bells. I've got those J-I-N-G-L-E-B-E-L-L-S. I've got those jingle bells all the way.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.